to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
So we're into a new month. Time just keeps doing its thing, doesn't it? We just spent last month looking at paradox. And I think we're always looking at paradox, but we did it specifically last month. And so this month, we're kind of continuing in that same exploration of paradox, but from the specificity of looking at the mundane, the sacred, and the profane. Today, we're looking at this idea, this concept, this experience that we've created of this thing called the mundane. It's interesting to me that when we look to the dictionary, which is, you know, how we have collectively decided to define these terms, no surprise, the definition of mundane means lacking interest or excitement, dull. And the root word of mundane, the root of the word mundane, comes from the Latin mundus, meaning world, which I don't know about you, but that made me chuckle. That the world, the essence of our physical, we have decided lacks interest or excitement. That the world, this physical realm, is dull and boring. And there may be truth to that. Are we willing to explore that? That perhaps our attachment to the physical is misplaced. Perhaps. One of my favorite books, one of my favorite authors is Dan Millman. And he writes a book called No Ordinary Moments. If you're not familiar with Dan Millman, he is also the author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And No Ordinary Moments is a book about how to practice being a peaceful warrior. Excuse me. And it's really based in mindfulness, very much like Ram Dass's book, Be Here Now, that we, instead of dismissing any aspect of life as ordinary, as mundane, as boring, as dull, how would our experience change if we understood and embraced, and dare us even embody, that every moment is an expression of the infinite as us? It's a novel idea. And I think it's one that many of us play with, and then we forget. We get caught up in the busyness of life, and I think we get caught up in the excitement and experience of our own adrenaline system, of our own experience of excitement. I was sharing with Deborah this morning that more and more I really am coming to an understanding that humanity is addicted, period. And it doesn't even matter if it's a substance or a thought, that ultimately this thing called addiction is this activity of seeking something outside of ourselves to change how we experience ourselves, to change our feeling state. And I submit to you, if we each really understood that we are the infinite in form, that the truth of us is unlimited pure potentiality that there can, that we can't even hold a concept of not exciting or dull or bored in the context of that. I know growing up, one of the things that I frequently heard, and any of us that are parents have heard our children say, I'm bored. And what I was met with growing up is, if you're bored, you might want to figure out why you're boring. And what I learned from that very repetitive lesson was that my concept of boring was that I was waiting on somebody else to do something to make my life exciting. And when I tapped into my imagination, life instantly stopped being boring. Now, many of us, most of us, if not all of us, are conditioned to what is exciting and what is mundane. I will share with you my experience over the past 5 weeks. Many of you know I had shoulder surgery 5 weeks ago. Most of my life was pretty mundane, pretty ordinary, pretty not exciting. And the shift of perspective, the shift of activity, all of a sudden, the ordinary, the very dull activity of making a cup of coffee was not ordinary or mundane, having to do it with my left hand and only one hand. Eating a bowl of soup with your non-dominant hand, not very mundane. Everything, putting on a shirt that was mindless, now is very mindful. And so, again, I get to live the experience that it's all perception. It's all what I'm telling myself. And it's because I have settled, if you will, into the misinformation that this human experience is the essence of me, and it's not. Let me scroll down here for just a minute to my Ernest Holmes quote. Ernest Holmes says this in Creative Mind on page 9. The one mind knows only its own ability to make whatever is given it. It sees no other power and never analyzes or dissects. It simply knows. And the reason why people do not understand this is that they have not realized what mind is. The ordinary individual thinks of mind only from the limitation of their own environment. The concept we have of mind is the concept of our own thinking, which is very limited. Now, yes, I did read that in gender-affirming language, and I will always do that. The point of reading it is to help us begin to explore again that we are more than we think we are. We are more than we allow ourselves to be. In our statement, our declarations of principles, what we believe, the very first one is, we believe in God, living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. This one manifests itself in and through all creation. The manifest universe is the body of God. It is the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. it's not the self-knowingness of Reverend Rafe as a human being, as a husband, as a minister, as a father, as a friend. It is the self-knowingness of God. It is that knowing that, as the second principle says, we believe in the incarnation of the Spirit in everyone, and that all people are incarnations of the one Spirit. It's remembering that to know myself is to remember that I am a physical incarnation of God itself, of life itself, of love itself, whatever word works for you. Because let's be clear, not every word works for everybody. And words are, I think, the greatest limitation that we dance with. Because in order to be in this physical realm, we communicate. And we communicate by words. And words are simply labels of understanding, labels of meaning, all of which Don Miguel Ruiz points out to us are limitations. This idea of mindfulness, I think, offers us a path to go beyond how we define, how we limit. Even the term magnificent is a limitation, because it limits us to our idea of magnificence. And I think it's truly in the silence of mindfulness. And when I use the word mindfulness, I'm meaning that place where we are full of mind, where we are fully engaged in that place of one mind, where we begin to entertain that answers found in the silence, that the silence is beyond what is auditory, that the chaos, the rhetoric, the definitions, the very things that I call thought are noise that obscure me being fully in mind. That silence is perhaps even the absence of human thought. It rests in the infinite potentiality of that one mind, that indefinable, unlimited self-knowingness that we are each the home of, a center of, the creative activity of, this infinite something which is quite incomprehensible to us in this human brain. And to let that be okay, to begin to allow ourselves to experience what we call the mundane as the activity of the brilliance of creation. That the ability to do anything, just the fact that we're here, is so incredibly extraordinary that extraordinary doesn't even capture how magnificent it is. And so we use words to communicate with a fuller understanding that ultimately it's an experiential thing. There's a story about a photographer who is part of a camera club, and when they went out on their journeys and on their adventures to do photography, the majority of the class is looking in one direction, and taking pictures. And this one individual, for whatever reason, something sparked in him to notice what everyone else was looking at and turn 180 degrees and photograph that. And what is interesting in the story is that his photography won award after award after award. And so the folks in the club were like, I don't get it. We're all photographing the same stuff. How is it that you're seeing and photographing things that we don't see? And what he pointed out is, I turned away from what you were looking at to see what no one else was seeing. And perhaps that's what Dr. Holmes, when he talks about turn away from condition, that he's not talking about we ignore our human experience, but perhaps what he's inviting us to do is to be more intentional, to be more mindful, to turn away from what everybody else sees, to see more of what is there to see. This photographer didn't invent things to see. He simply chose a different perspective. He simply chose to look at things differently. We talk about change our thinking, change our life. And I think that is ultimately the path to magnificence. And I think that sometimes we make it a very mundane path. Oh, yeah, yeah, change your thinking, change your life. It's all good. It's all God. And we say those things mindlessly rather than leaning into what they're actually inviting us to do. In the talk teaser, there was the quote, the Buddhist quote, before enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. And perhaps it's not the activity, but rather how we are in relationship to the activity that changes things. Perhaps if we attend to each movement, each bite of food, mindfully, being aware of what's actually happening, that it changes our experience, that the more we lean into the changeless nature of ourselves, the infinite possibility of ourselves, the less impacted we are by the physical realm around us, and the more equipped and empowered we are to be a part of shifting that. It is absolutely challenging in the face of disaster to see God. And yet, it is that activity that empowers people to be present with one another, to save one another in the most horrific of situations. It is tapping into that that empowers the magnificence and the heroic activity, if you will, of those moments. And I believe that we get to have those heroic moments in everything we do. Everything we do. If we're willing to simply lean into a different experience of the moment and of ourselves. And so this week, I invite you to do a little inventory. What are the mundane tasks that you dislike? And then to intentionally engage in those tasks finding God in those tasks, finding magnificence in those tasks. What are the thoughts that you're holding while you're doing those tasks? How can you remind yourself to stay fully present in the awareness of your God self, in the essence of your being, while engaging in what has been a very mundane, boring, non-exciting task? The other thing that I will offer is to pay attention to relationship and how we each relate, not just to tasks, but to one another, to this thing called the world around us. Many of us were raised in such chaotic environments that when we get into healthy relationships, we sabotage them because they don't feed our adrenaline system in the way we're used to, and so we deem them boring. We pray for peace and then create chaos because we don't know how to experience peace, because we have labeled it mundane. We've labeled it boring. And I invite you to consider releasing those labels, to find the excitement in someone loving you in a way that's different than what you're used to. To find excitement in a job that may have repetitive components. And to find the beauty and the magnificence that is actually there. This is what's available to us if we choose it. I'm going to be working with a quote this month. And I'm going to probably read it every Sunday this month because I think it is one of the most powerful quotes that I've ever read. It's by Ethel Waters, who is a Black singer and musician. And she says this: life is not intended to be safe. A safe life has too small a name for a creature of eternity. Life at its noblest and highest has a hazard about it. It ponders tomorrow but does not know it. It sounds the depths of the ocean but knows not the hazards of the bottom. Life at its best takes a chance on righteousness, no matter the hazard. No matter the cost, life, when answering to its true name, lifts on wings, feeling no visible hands supporting it. Are we brave enough to let go of the idea of mundane, to experience the magnificence of every moment of this precious thing we call life, of the changeless expressing itself in constant change, and to let ourselves play with infinite possibility? Let's take this into prayer. And so with this breath, I recognize the infinite. I recognize, I know again, that there is one infinite, ever-present everything. That it is everywhere present, expressing itself as every grain of creation. That it is changeless while its creation is ever changing. That it creates in multiplicity out of one indivisible substance of itself. So all that I experience of life, including this thing I call me, is that one substance. The formless in form, the changeless, constantly changing, the magnificent, expressing in the mundane activity of this human realm. I know this is the truth of my being. And so I set my intention. I set my yes to experience, to be aware of the magnificence of every magical moment of life, to be mindful, to be attentive, to be fully present, to practice the presence of the essence of my being as I live in this human realm, to hold space for the both and, to embody the truth of my being, which has never been harmed, can never be harmed. It is the center of who and what I am. I say yes to knowing that in a new way. Grateful. Grateful to know that simply by holding, by having the thought, by speaking it into being, it is done. And so I release any limitation within myself of experiencing what has been spoken into being. And I throw away all limitation, and I step fully into the infinite possibility of knowing the magnificence of who and whose I am, knowing that as I do, I know the magnificence of all life and relate to each expression of life as the magnificence that it is. Grateful, grateful, grateful. And so knowing it is already complete, the only thing left to do is let go. And so I do. I release my word into that activity of fulfillment that has already said yes and made it so. And I invite you to join me as we anchor this together by saying, and so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.